Morning, everyone. Thanks for joining me Beyond the Divide. Today, I want to tackle the topic of discouragement. And parents, you know what I'm talking about. One second, everything is smooth sailing, going along hunky-dory. The next, your teenager rolls their eyes at you, and it all comes crashing down around your feet. You feel like a complete failure, and you question God's judgment in sending these beautiful, stubborn souls into your keeping. But whether you're a parent who's feeling overwhelmed by the daily grind or just navigating life's challenges, maybe you are in a season of waiting, and the waiting is so long and so hard. And maybe you have found your calling in life, but the steps to success are long, and the top of the staircase is so far away that you can't see it yet. Discouragement can sneak in and steal our joy, and it happens so quickly. But there's good news. God sees us, He trusts us with His plans, and His word offers hope to keep us going.
Rise above, we're breaking through. No more lies, just me and you. Hearts aligned, we'll find the way. Together, we'll seize the day. Beyond the divide. Chasing truth till the fight is won. From the shadows to the light we strive. United we thrive. Beyond the divide.
All right, so let's jump into this one. Let's be real, guys. Parenting and life in general is hard. You're juggling schedules, you're wiping noses, you're breaking up sibling squabbles, you're trying to keep the house from looking like it got hit by a tornado, and that's just Monday morning. It's easy to feel like you're failing when the kids are whining and the dishes are piling up, and you're wondering if you're doing anything right. But discouragement isn't just a parenting thing, it's a human thing. And feeling discouraged doesn't mean that you are failing. It means that you're human. Even the heroes of the Bible faced moments of despair. If we think of Elijah, who after a huge victory over the prophets and Baal, ran into the wilderness, he sat under a broom tree, and he basically just said, "God, I am done." He was exhausted, he was alone, he was discouraged, but God didn't scold him. And he didn't give up on him. He sent an angel with food and water and rest, and then he gently reminded Elijah of his purpose. The devil uses discouragement as a way to halt our progress. He whispers lies in our ear, and he knows just exactly which ones to use that will cause the most damage to every single one of us. But if you let him, God will always step in and he will build us back up and he will use these moments to our ultimate glory. One of the most beautiful truths in scripture is that God trusts us with his work. As parents, we've been entrusted with raising our kids. These little humans were made in God's image, and that is no small task. Ephesians chapter 2 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God had prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Those good works include the late night prayers, the teachable moments, and even the messy days when you're just trying to keep everybody alive. And when discouragement creeps in, it's tempting to think that we are not good enough. But remember that God chose you for this season, for these kids, for this life. And Psalm 139 reminds us, "Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them." God knew every single challenge that you would face, and he equipped you for it. He trusts us to show up even when we feel like we're stumbling. And the refining never stops, guys. It's often easy, especially in times of success and joy, to forget that the refining never stops. And it isn't just these big, massive heartaches or failures or times of sorrow and grief that refine us. It's happening every single day in every decision that we make, every little thing. Our doubts, our fears, our anxieties, our triumphs, and our joys, they're all refining, and they will be used for our good. God does not abandon us. And I imagine it's probably a painful thing for him to watch as we go through our learning and refining. Just as it's difficult for us as parents on this earth to watch our little ones go through trials, we wish we could make it different. We wish we could do it for them. But we know that this is part of the building up of who they will ultimately become. But it's easy to forget and to lose sight of the horizon when we're in a period of discouragement. Yesterday, when the thought came to me to write on this topic, I was on fire. I am in the middle of writing a book right now, and this is a story that's been a work in progress for a while. And I thought I had finished it, and I had like sent it to people to read. And my husband read it, and you know, he was like, "This is really good." And I thought that I was done. And then I started looking into publishers, and I realized that it wasn't long enough for submission. And it wasn't long enough by about half. So I'm like, okay, here I am. I'm typing away, and the ideas are just coming to me like crazy. And my fingers are flying over the keyboard, and I wrote close to 20,000 words, which is like an insane amount. And then this morning, I discovered that something had glitched with the saving of my manuscript, and all of my progress is gone. And I cried for a while and just thought to myself, like, I must be some kind of cursed. And then the thought occurred to me that this is probably some sort of crazy sign that I can do better with what I had written. And then I thought, I am just one seriously unlucky human. And I was kind of wallowing in despair over these 20,000 words. And then my husband texted me, and he gave me so much love and encouragement. And he stepped in to stem the tide of the tears and the jumble of thoughts that were swirling around in my very human brain. And he brought me so much peace. Seriously, he has this amazing way of just calming down my crazy, which I'm sure is not easy to do. And I don't even know if he realizes this, but once in a while, he will send me emojis throughout the day whenever he can, which oftentimes is a miracle in itself because he works on the side of a mountain and the service there is super unreliable. But every once in a while, a heart or a kiss will slip through, and it turns my entire day around. So for you ladies out there, side note, if you're in your season of waiting for a husband, find one that will brighten your day. And that may be way down on the list of qualities that you have for your future husband, but someday you're going to realize how important that is, and you're going to need it. So make sure it's on your list. God knew before he knit you in the womb of every single moment that you would be discouraged, and he sends people into our lives to stem that tide. We aren't meant to go through life alone. Genesis chapter 2, and the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him and help meet for him." So from the very beginning, God said, "Nope, you are not going through this by yourself. Here is someone that will stand by you and help you, and together you'll create a life and you'll have this beautiful existence." So when you are deep in your season of discouragement, even if it's just for a moment, lean on the people that God has sent into your life. So how do we push through discouragement? Okay, let's lean into God's word for some practical wisdom. First, in Isaiah chapter 40, But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Waiting on God does not mean sitting still. It means trusting in his timing. And when parenting especially feels like a marathon, this verse can remind us that God renews our strength when we lean on him. Now, if we flip to Philippians chapter 4, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When you're discouraged, try to pause for a moment and think of one bright thing in your life. Maybe it's your kids' laughter or just a small win from the day. And that shift in focus can bring a peace that will carry you through the discouragement. And don't forget in Galatians chapter 6, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. This life, like faith, is a long game. Especially with parents, the tantrums, the messes, the sleepless nights, they're all part of the journey, but they're not the end. And God promises us a harvest if we keep going. So I want to dig a little bit deeper into Elijah. I want you to close your eyes and imagine with me. The air still carried the faint scent of charred stone and victory from Mount Carmel. Elijah, God's firebrand prophet, had stood alone against an army of 450 prophets of Baal. His voice had thundered, his faith unshaken, as he called down heaven's fire to consume a drenched altar. The flames roared, the people shouted, "The Lord, he is God," and the false prophets fell. It was a day carved in eternity, and a moment when the Almighty's power surged through Elijah like a river breaking a dam. But victory has a way of fading under the shadow of a new storm. Queen Jezebel, her eyes blazing with venom, sent a messenger to Elijah with a vow as sharp as a dagger. "So may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of Baal's prophets by this time tomorrow." Her words weren't just a threat, they were a noose tightening around Elijah's heart. The prophet, who had faced a king and a cult with unwavering courage, felt fear sliver into his soul. His legs, once steady on Carmel's peak, now carried him in a frantic sprint southward to Beersheba, the edge of Judah's safety. In Beersheba, Elijah left his servant as if shedding the last tether to his past triumphs. Alone, he pressed deeper into the wilderness where the sun scorched the earth and the wind hissed through jagged rocks. Under a lone broom tree, its sparse branches offering meager shade, Elijah collapsed. His breath was ragged, his spirit heavier than the stones around him. "It is enough," he whispered to the heavens, his voice cracking like dry clay. "Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my father's." The man who had called down fire now begged for the darkness to swallow him. He was done. Done with running, done with fighting, done with being God's lone voice in a world that seemed deaf to the truth. Elijah curled into the dust and slept, the sleep of a man whose strength had bled out. But the wilderness, harsh as it was, became a cradle of divine mercy. As the stars blinked awake, a gentle touch stirred him. Not the grip of an enemy, but the warmth of an angel's hand. "Arise and eat," the angel said, his voice soft as a breeze. Beside Elijah was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water, gifts from a God who saw his prophet's breaking point. Elijah ate, drank, and slept again, his body too weary to question the miracle. A second time the angel roused him. "Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you." The food wasn't just sustenance, it was a promise that God was not finished with Elijah. Strengthened, he rose and walked 40 days and 40 nights through deserts that whispered of death to Mount Horeb, the mountain of God. There, in a cave's cool shadow, he waited. The Lord's voice came, not with judgment, but with a question that pierced the silence. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" The prophet poured out his heart raw and unfiltered. I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant. I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. His words were a lament, a cry of a man who felt abandoned in his zeal. Then God moved, not as Elijah might have expected, not in the fire he'd once summoned. A great wind tore at the mountains, splitting rocks, but God was not in the wind. An earthquake shook the ground, but God was not in the quake. A fire blazed, but God was not in the flames. Then came a low whisper, a sound so gentle it was like a breath against the soul. Elijah wrapped his face in his cloak and stood at the cave's mouth, trembling. Again God asked, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Again Elijah poured out his loneliness, his fear, and his sense of failure. But God, in his infinite kindness, didn't leave Elijah in that cave of despair. He gave him purpose. "Go, return on your way, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, Jehu king over Israel, and Elisha to be the prophet in your place." And then a revelation to shatter Elijah's isolation. "Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal." Elijah was not alone. God had preserved a remnant, a hidden army of faithful hearts. As Elijah stepped out from the cave, the wind no longer felt like a threat, but a nudge to keep going. The prophet who had run in fear now walked with renewed purpose, carrying the whisper of God's voice in his heart. The broom tree's shadow was far behind, and ahead lay a new chapter, proof that even in the wilderness of discouragement, God's mercy finds us, feeds us, and calls us onward. So let's get practical here for a minute. Here are three ways that we can combat discouragement as parents and people of faith. The first one is to rest in God's presence. Just like Elijah needed rest, so do we. If we can carve out a moment, even just 5 minutes in the car or a quiet prayer before bed, to sit with God. Psalm 46 says, "Be still and know that I am God," and that stillness can reset your heart and your spirit. If we connect with community, as in Hebrews chapter 10 urges us to consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together. Find a friend, a small group, an online community. You're not alone, and there are people out there who are experiencing the very same things that you are that can be a listening ear. And celebrate the small wins. Discouragement often blinds us to progress. If you made it through a tough day without losing your cool, that's a win. If your child shared their toy without fighting, that's a win. Okay, Psalm 118 says, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." So look for reasons to rejoice even in the chaos, even these tiny little moments that you can be proud of and celebrate. Discouragement is very real, but so is God's faithfulness. As parents and as humans, we are not called to be perfect, just faithful. Jeremiah chapter 29 reminds us, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." God's got every single one of us. And he is writing a beautiful story through our lives, even on the hard days, even through the moments of discouragement. He's right there. And he has sent people into our lives to be right there to help us through these times and these moments. So take a deep breath. You're doing better than you think you are. Lean on God's strength and on the strength of the people that he's put into your life. Trust his plan. And keep showing up. Remember, we have got this because he has got us. He will not abandon us. Have faith in yourself. Have faith in the beauty of this life. Have faith in what you have created in your small little family or your marriage or you know, whatever season you're in your life right now, have faith in the beauty that is in that season. Go out there, find ways to lift yourself up, find people that you can help out of their season of discouragement. Have an amazing day. It's a beautiful day. The sun is shining. Go find that common thread and just enjoy the peace of the small moments. Thanks for joining me, guys. Have a wonderful day.